jury back then?
Yeah.
Not from the defense here.
Okay, do we make sure we have a clear path to the jury box for the jurors? We need to, Mr. Bergrappi, it's just move things a little bit. We can always adjust them back in a second. It would be a poor start to the day to have somebody trip.
How's that?
Anyone trips today, Your Honor, it's going to be guaranteed.
Okay, ready to bring. In state, you're proceeding on your second witness, correct?
Correct.
And is that your last witness?
Correct.
And then we'll talk to them just exactly that. Have seats, please. Good morning, ladies. Welcome back. Sorry we're here on the second day, but I'm excited we're here on the second day. Anybody try to engage you in conversations last night, this morning, at any of the time, try to discuss the case, the evidence, or anything else?
No.
Not even with each other?
No.
Anything that needs to come to my attention before we resume? Thank you. Then let's do that. State, you have another witness you wish to call?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. The state called Aviation Police Officer Robert Dilley.
Okay. You guys can come in.
Thanks.
Mr. Brady, have you come up over this way, please?
Yes, sir.
Before you have a seat, if I have you raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you report that should be true. The time of your so have a seat then. Ready? Your witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. And officer, I'll be questioning you, and since we have some electronics here, I'll be questioning you from behind the screen.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please state your full name to the jury?
Sure, my name is Officer Robert F. Dilley.
And with whom are you employed?
I'm currently employed with the Albuquerque Aviation Police Department.
Okay. And can you tell us, what is the Albuquerque Aviation Police Department?
We are a police department assigned to the Albuquerque Sunport. We're a police department for the airport.
Okay. The Albuquerque International Airport, that's the Sunport?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is that within the city limits of Albuquerque?
Yes, sir, it is.
Is it, in fact, a city building?
Yes, sir, it is.
Or
it's a government building.
And are you a city employee?
Yes, right.
Okay. So the aviation police is different than the Albuquerque Police Department?
We're separate from the Albuquerque Police Department. However, we are still city employees.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your job responsibilities as an aviation police officer?
Sure. We enforce the laws of the city and the state. We also have a different mission than the Albuquerque Police Department in that our mission is to assist passengers maintain a peaceful environment at the airport. A lot of times the passengers flying through, they're worried. A lot of passengers are worried with flying these days. So we help maintain a peaceful, quiet, and safe environment for the passengers flying through and out.
Okay. As far as law enforcement responsibilities, are you involved in any type of in-depth investigations, or is it essentially what's happening on the grounds?
There are, we're a completely separate police department, so we do have investigations to conduct. We have anywhere from, it's like a city, we have felony crimes that occur. We have misdemeanor crimes from DWIs, people who are disrupting disorderly conduct. We often have missing children, missing parents. And when I went to the aviation police department, I found that I have done more first aid and life-saving measures with the aviation police department than I did in my entire career with APD. So we do about everything that the APD does, but we do it at airports. It includes traffic violations for those
So you're at least in part security for the airport?
Yes, sir. I guess you could say that.
Let me ask you a few questions about yourself. You had stated that your experience with APD, the Albuquerque Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about your training and your experience as a law enforcement officer in general?
Yes, sir. I retired from the Albuquerque Police Department. I was in uniform for the first 2 years of my career, and after that, I was a detective in the Special Investigations Division, which included General Investigations Impact, Repeat Offender Project, the Organized Crime Unit, the Central Narcotics Unit, and I retired out of the Region 1 Narcotics Task Force.
Okay, and I believe you said you retired after 20 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay, other than the 20 years there and the time with the Aviation Police Department, did you have any other law enforcement background?
Yes, sir, I did. After I retired...
I'm going to check based on relevance.
Okay. After I retired from the Albuquerque Police Department, the other police departments I was a part of was the Valencia County Sheriff's Department. They asked me to go with them so they could have me teach their detectives how to conduct their own investigations. I went to Albuquerque Public Schools for a short time as a school resource officer. I was then recruited by Belen Police Department to help their detectives investigate crimes. After that, I was recruited by the director of the New Mexico Racing Commission to be the second in charge at the New Mexico Racing Commission. And then finally, working at the airport was a desire of mine after retiring. Finally, there was an opening at the Albuquerque Aviation Police Department, and I applied, and I made it.
And let me ask you, are there other retired Albuquerque Police Department officers that work with the Aviation Police Department?
Yes, it is.
Objection, Your Honor, again, relevance at this point.
Yeah, I'm finding it doesn't really help us decide here today, so yes. I'll sustain it.
It's just background information.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Thank you. Let me ask you a few questions with regard to the charges in this case. Do you have or have you had training and experience with regard to misdemeanor violations such as those in this particular case?
Well, yes, sir. My entire law enforcement career, to include receiving service training, updating this.
Let me refer you to an incident that occurred November 15th of 2009. Do you recall an incident, the incident that I'm referring to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And with regard to that incident, did you come into contact with anyone who is in the courtroom today?
Yes, sir, I did.
Can you please identify that person?
Yes, sir. It's the gentleman in the glasses, the black suit, and light colored shirt. Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, may the court reflect that the officers identified the defendant?
Yes, I recognize the identification.
Thank you. Can you describe for the jury what your role it was with regard to this incident?
Yes, sir. I was assigned to the concourse at the airport on a particular day. The concourse is where the area where you just before you board the planes. At that particular time, though, I was standing at the checkpoint with some other police officers. The checkpoint is, once you pass security, there are some podiums there, and the place, we're there. We're required to be there by federal law. We can't be any more than, I believe it's 1 minute away from the security checkpoint. So they put a podium there. Myself and some other officers were standing there with the officer that was assigned.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. This is basically just narration. This is a direct examination. I'd ask the state to ask questions.
State, if you would break up with some questions.
My question was, how did you become involved in this incident? I believe if you, with regard to the incident, first of all, where were you located when you were directed to the incident?
I was standing at the podium.
And where is the podium in relation to where the, you came into contact with the first came into contact with the defendant?
I can best describe it better than the as you come into the checkpoint area, there are two podiums set up by the TSA. They are on what we call the non-secure side before you go to the screen. Then you have the screening area, behind the screening area, you have the where people put their shoes on, stuff like that. That's where I'm pointing at.
Okay. And if it, Your Honor, may I ask that the officer use the podium and just do a very short diagram as to the location?
Sure. You say podium, you mean the which paper?
Or the these? Yes, the paper, these.
Okay. Sure. If you step down, you want to just bring that out. There should be a marker there. And,
sure.
The position where the jury can see and determine.
This one? The checkpoint area, it's where the TSA is. When you come in, there are some holes with nylon ropes going across them, directing the folks where to go to. They wind around, however, this particular day, the TSA podiums kind of like this. Now you have the security area, the screening area where the machines are and where they do the pat downs. There are two podiums beyond that. Folks put their new benches, people put the shoes on here. There are two podiums for us police. I was standing on this side of the podium with some other police officers. We were just talking.
Okay. And where was the defendant at the time that you, well, where was he when you came into contact?
When I came into contact, I went through the screening area, came out to where the podium was, and they're on the, he was at this first podium.
And I'm sorry, if you can mark where you were with a...
I'm going to put a circle
on my over officer.
Okay.
And if you can mark where the defendant was, a D for the defendant. Okay. Now, if you can have a seat again, and just what's the distance, approximately?
What's the distance? It's, I would have to guess maybe from here to the elevator. That's far beyond where we're at now.
Okay. Did you receive a call, or did you see a disturbance at that location?
No. In fact, we were standing there. We didn't know a disturbance was occurring, other than because it's really loud. Until one of the TSA agents came up to us, and he had a look on his face, and we were watching him, seeing what was going on, and he said, "I need you guys here now. We need you now." And so we all started that way.
Okay. If you can have a seat again, please. I think that's fine. I don't think it's out of the way. After you received this information, what did you do next?
Myself and some of the other officers followed the TSA agent. I was kind of looking in one of the little, they call them the bubbles, where people go into, and at the time they only had one of those, but it had the x-ray, so I figured I was looking toward that area because that's where a lot of people get angry that they have to go through it. So I was looking there and I'm thinking, well, I don't see anything.
Excuse me, you mean bubbles that full body?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
full body scan, that's what they call it. And I was looking for that, and then I got closer to that full body scan machine. I heard some yelling out beyond it, where I indicated the defendant was. And I said, okay, that's where the situation is. So we walked up to that person, and we stood back to see what was going on, because at that point, I wanted to see what the commotion was.
What was going on? What did you observe?
I observed the defendant yelling at the TSA agents. Wanted to determine why he was yelling at them. We get this a lot at the airport. Folks are unhappy, and then they calm down. You know, usually when they see us walk up, they say, okay, no problem, and they just continue on their way. And so I stood there for a while watching what was going on, trying to determine what the reason this individual was yelling at.
Okay, and let me just ask you, when you use the term yelling, was this screaming yelling, or was this just raised voice yelling?
You have to understand, screaming yelling compared to somebody out there on the street and somebody in this courtroom or in the hallway or somebody in the airport, it's a different level. Usually people come in, and if somebody gets upset, they'll cause enough of a commotion, or they'll talk loud enough to where passengers around them start worrying, because people are already stressed out flying anyway. It wasn't yelling at the top of his voice. He was speaking louder than the level of the crowd that was there. And so we stand back, and I stood back on this particular day because people come through and they're stressed out to fly. Sometimes it's some people who are they're scared, and we calm them down or something.
And let me ask you, you said you stood back. How far back were you when you were observing this?
I'd say compared to where the jury box begins.
Okay. And how long did you stay at that location before you came closer?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't keeping track of time. I finally stepped in when I realized that as I was standing there, people were coming when they were stopping, and they were looking, like, what's going on here? The passengers. And I was waving them through, like, it's okay, come on through. And then as soon as I realized, well, now we have a situation where the peace of the airport was being disturbed. The passengers were kind of alerted to that.
And let me ask you a couple of questions with regard to that. You stated that the passengers were observing what was going on. What did you observe that the passengers were doing as they were coming through?
As they were approaching, they were hesitating. They're looking at, and you can see in some of the faces, people are just looking what's going on. Others were had kind of like a worried look on their face, and nobody said anything, and actually they wouldn't. And I was just wanting to assure that everything's okay, you know, come on, just keep on going. And usually, because at the airport, people just want to get in and get out. They don't want to stop and look around. A lot of people running late, they want to get there. But the security was just, for them, I found out is the most stressful part of the fun, going to security.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. Officer Billy is offering some sort of opinion about
Officer, can you please answer the question? I was asking, what were your observations of those people that were coming through?
Folks had a worried look on their face.
Okay. Did it slow the process down?
Yes, sir, it did.
Okay. When I asked you originally about how long you were at the area before you approached, was it more than a minute? Less than a minute?
Oh, it was more than a minute. I stood back to see what was actually going on before I went into the contact, or I thought it would resolve itself.
Okay. Why did you, take any action toward the incident?
Yes, as soon as I figured it was not going to resolve itself and that TSA was having a problem with this individual, I stepped in and I asked him to please comply with the procedures of TSA so that he can continue on.
Okay. And have you had this occurrence, from your experience working as a law enforcement officer at the airport?
Objection, Your Honor. What relevance does that have?
I see the relevance, but just in a fair question.
Yes. Have you had this type of incident occur in the past?
This type of incident, how do you mean, in regards to somebody?
Somebody being, I guess, a question of procedure, or somebody having...
Your Honor, I'm going to object. This is leading. He's providing some sort of answer to the witness.
Overruled.
I answer.
I've had several times throughout the day, we have passengers come through and they question the procedure as to whether, why do I have to be patted down, why I have to go through this scanning machine. I'm running late. They're angry, and sometimes they take the anger out on TSA. When we, like I said earlier, when we approach, they calm down, and they continue on through the process. Very rarely will a person not calm down before we have to ask them or escort them out to the airport.
Okay. Has that happened before?
Where we escort them out?
I'm going to check, Your Honor, again. I don't know what relevance these past incidents have to this incident today.
Not to speak to the jury, but I can see the relevance of it, but I think we've exhausted it.
I'll move on.
Thank you.
After you had seen this, what did you do next?
I stepped in. I wanted to defuse the situation. I wanted this person to calm down, move on through the screening process, get on this plane so we could get back to the normal duties of our working at the airport.
Okay. Were you aware, or let me ask it this way, are you aware at this time that a portion of that incident was being videotaped?
I was aware at the time. The defendant had a video camera that he was holding up into his chest.
Okay. From your observations, what appeared to be the concerns of the TSA officers?
Objection, Your Honor, for speculation.
Well, that question was what appeared to be. It technically avoids speculation, but state. I'm going to sustain it.
Thank you. Okay, let me ask it this way. What were your observations?
The defendant was reporting all of us, and recording us as we spoke. The TSA agents were asking him to stop recording them and their process, I believe. And as far as recording me, I didn't care one way or the other if he was recording me or not.
When you stepped in, what did you do?
I asked him to comply with procedures of the TSA. He didn't want to. I told him, if you don't comply, we were going to escort you out of the airport.
What happened next?
He stayed there, and he was going back and forth with TSA about what he could do if there's a problem reporting in public areas. He kept going back and forth with TSA, arguing with TSA. Funny. Now I said, okay, now you're going to have to leave. You're causing disturbance, you're disturbing the passengers, you're slowing down the process, so now you're going to have to leave. And he stayed there for a little bit, still saying, I don't understand what's going on. I know that I don't have to leave, should be no problem recording. And then at that point, I believe it was once again. At one point, I told him, you know, you have to leave or you're going to go to jail. He didn't leave. Now I said, okay, well, we have no other choice. Now we have to arrest him. So I verbally placed him under arrest for disorderly conduct and refusing to obey.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, about your relationship with the TSAs. Are they law enforcement officers?
No, sir, they're not.
Okay. So how is your relationship, if there is some type of a problem or a disturbance, or is the incident, do they have any role in it other than in getting information to you? from a law enforcement perspective?
Their role is, in our relationship with TSA, is they're screeners. They screen the passengers. If there is a situation that requires law enforcement interaction, then we will step in. No different than if a person walks up to us and says, I need help. There's a person bothering me. It's kind of like that because they're civilians. And so if they've come to us asking us for assistance with a passenger or a situation, we respond.
Now, before we go on with the incident, let me ask you if you recall, did the defendant have a boarding pass?
I assume he did. Did I physically see one? No.
Did you ever ask for the identification of the defendant?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, at what point?
After I had verbally placed him under arrest, I had realized he didn't want to identify himself to TSA. That's fine. It wasn't against the law. But once I placed him under arrest and he became part of a criminal investigation, now he was required to identify himself to me. And he didn't. He said I just remained silent and really wanted him to identify himself because I didn't want to book him under John Doe. There's a long process for that. So I kept wanting to help himself. I want him to identify himself so that he would not have to be booked into John Doe.
Okay. When did this occur? Did it occur, well, let me ask you first of all, did you see the video with regard to this incident?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did it occur, how close in relation to that video were you trying to get his identification?
Once I wanted him to leave the airport.
Okay.
Once I ordered him to leave, he didn't.
Okay. Can you describe what happened following taking him from that the screening area?
Yes. Once I told him he was under arrest, we walked a little bit further away from the crowd, or the podiums. And so I told him to place another officer, take his bags. And I told him, I said, well, I asked him once again, hoping he'd give us his identity or had an ID on him. He said, I don't want to give my ID, I don't have to. It's fine. And officer took the bags. We started going through his bags, doing a cursory search because he was under arrest and he was searching his bags pursuant to his arrest. More so, I wanted his bags searched just in case there were any perishable items in it, because if there were, and we were going to store these bags until he recovered them, I didn't want any food rotting in our office or in our evidence room.
What happened after that?
We escorted him to our police office where we processed him. We didn't handcuff him. He wasn't to where I felt he was going to run away from us or start striking us, so in order not to alarm passengers coming through, once again, like I said, airports are a little different than the streets. If a person's not going to be violent, if he's not going to cause a disaster, if he's not going to alarm other passengers, we won't handcuff them if they happen to be under arrest. We'll escort them to our office.
Okay, and you mentioned you escorted him to your office. Where is your office in relation to the screening area?
It's a long ways away. Okay. As you enter the airport, there are the ticket counters, and to the far, far west end of the ticket counters, there's the police office.
Okay. During the time that you were walking with the defendant, did you have any conversation with him?
No, he didn't want to talk to him. I wasn't going to talk to him. You know, he said I don't want to talk to him. Very well.
After you got to your station, your area, what happened?
You mean the police office?
Yes.
We started I filled out the criminal complaint and the pre-booker, and they filled out a criminal trespass form. And I once again, I did say this to him, I said, are you sure you don't want to identify yourself? Because if I don't, I have to book you under John Doe. And it's a long process because the jail is now, and then could be required to identify you before you can be released. And he didn't say anything, so, well, I have to fill out the paperwork with it, John Doe. And I did.
Did he say anything that he would, you said he didn't say anything. Was he refusing to say an objection? Was there, I can rephrase.
Reading, yes, please.
I can rephrase. Was the defendant giving any response?
No, sir. Once he said that he wanted to invoke his right to remain silent, I was going to honor his wishes and, you know, not try to force him to talk. I was hoping he was going to identify himself, though.
Okay. Let me ask you, with regard to, and you've mentioned it a couple of times now, arresting him under John Doe. Can you describe for the jury what that means?
Sure. If a person is arrested or can't be identified, and we have to write a police report, we have to write down the name John Doe on the police report. We're required to have some type of name, and John Doe is a universal name for persons who are unidentified. John Doe for males and Jane Doe for females.
Okay. What happened after you were down in your police office area?
After I completed the paperwork, I transported him to jail.
What happened at that location?
At the jail. They actually...
Your Honor, I'm going to object that. I don't see the relevance at this point. We're now talking about the bookkeeper's
license. This goes to the concealing identity charge. I can, if the court wishes, I can approach and give a proffer.
Yeah. Okay. You come on up then.
Took the defendant, Mr. Mosek, down to the jail for the formal booking process, did he refuse at that time to identify himself?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to make the approach.
Yeah, we can.
I
legal wrangling. You can do it while you're sitting here and listening to the white noise, or we can let you go back and stretch your legs for a moment while we do that. We're going to be in a short recess as far as the jury's concerned in this matter. So, at this point, ladies, if you would, to the jury room for us, all right? Trade your way through. Have seats, please. Okay, so the issue as it comes up to me is defenses is very concerned that it's maybe the issue where he was booked into jail and that somehow is prejudicial to the jury in terms of incarceration leads them to have a dimmer view of the merits of the defendant's case on that. And I'm assuming the state is going to be arguing no real surprise what did they figure was going on once he was arrested. So we have that back and forth to it. I also have to balance it out with the fact that here we are on day two of a very lengthy and long in the tooth case. And do we really want to declare a mistrial and start it all over again at another time to do so? And defense is asking for...
Your Honor, we're not going to ask for a mistrial. We had a colloquy at the bench, and the court made very clear what where the state could go, and the state went the exact opposite direction and introduced this evidence that Mr. Mosek was booked into jail. I think there's clear case law that that is unduly prejudicial and doesn't really actually have probative value, the fact that someone went to jail. Unfortunately, it does prejudice juries against defendants. And so in a case like this, especially where he's charged with four charges and we have this officer testimony, we are seriously concerned that this is going to unduly prejudice the jury.
The defense, how then we, it's not standard in, say, for example, a DWI trial where the officers talk about during the booking process, we fill out this paperwork. I took him down to MDC. I transported. I mean, it's commonly done and never leaps up to itself that the fact that arrest leads to jail somehow is more prejudicial than arrest.
I will tell the court
especially,
that...
Well, especially when the officer was talking about I don't want to process him under a John Doe. It makes it more difficult to leave. All of that is already before the jury. I'm having a hard time thinking that the jury is going to be somehow stunned he went to jail.
I understand what you're saying. I think we all operate with a fairly sophisticated amount of knowledge about the process. I think we hear words like booking, and we understand that that means that the person is transported to the Metropolitan Detention Center, but I don't think the same can be said for your average citizen. And so I think that's one of the reasons the cases say that it is unduly prejudicial, because there isn't necessarily that leap that people make that someone went to jail after being arrested. The problem is that people, jurors associate arrest associate jail with seriousness of the offense. And unfortunately, jurors sometimes associate the more serious the offense is, the charged offense is, the more likely that the person is guilty. And that's the problem that we have here. So we have Mr. Mosek charged with these offenses. We now have testimony that he went to jail for it. And so what we're concerned about, I think legitimately concerned about, is the jury is going to get this unfair impression that Mr. Mosek was charged with these particularly serious offenses. I would also just note, Your Honor, that the court made very, very clear what the state could ask, and the state went up 2 seconds later and asked the exact opposite of what the court gave the state permission to ask.
Well, not exact opposite.
Well,
they strayed from the narrow limitation that I was imposing.
I think that's right, Your Honor. So it is a serious concern.
State.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, first of all, I agree with the court that this frequently comes up in these types of cases, that the person is placed under arrest and taken to the jail. That portion of the testimony came in without objection. Secondly, with regard, I respectfully disagree with the defense that there was anything that was said directly opposite of what was presented by the court. We had the testimony that the officer's next move was to take the defendant to the jail. And I will accept responsibility, my mistake, in terms of I didn't know that the court wanted me to use that exact phrasing or term. But I did not see a distinction between the formal arrest process or the booking. To me, I did not see that distinction. The purpose of the question I was presented to the court at the bench was to go to the defendant's state of mind with regard to his refusal to identify himself. And that was the purpose of asking that question. It wasn't the type of situation where the defendant at any point was providing this officer his identity. And it went all the way through to when this officer no longer had any dealings with the defendant. The purpose of asking that question was not to get into any issue concerning the jail. However, that was already part of the testimony, unobjected to prior to that question. I don't see this as overly prejudicial.
Okay. Well, we go as the extreme from a person's contact with law enforcement to bringing somebody in a jump shoot and shackles before a jury. The prejudice obviously swings dramatically from one to the other on that. Defense, I think the cat was already out of the bag before we got to this point from what the officer testified to, that he arrested him, was going to take him down and had a discussion with him. Don't make me book you under a John Doe, because it makes it harder to get out of custody on that matter. Also, is it within the state's province to try to present to the jury the fact that even when things became dramatically more uncomfortable for Mr. Bosick, the state's offer is that he then continued not to wish to identify himself. So that goes as far as the intent of the defendant on it. I'm going to allow it. Mr. Dreving, please don't put me in that position again of being able to narrowly focus what I wish to have asked and stray from it, or else it will torpedo us here.
I understand.
Without the potential of sanctions too. So defense, I understand. I'll deny the motion for mistrial. But I think we've exhausted where we're going to go for it. Any other questions, we move on from that. And not to bring up.
No other questions.
Okay, no other questions at all?
With regard to that.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. They get a break, we get one. Let's take 10 minutes and be back at 25 till on the clock. We're back to the wall. Thank you. All rise. Officer, you're meeting your oath from the special testimony. Anybody else that may be called? Okay. Have seats. Bye.